Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by StrikeForceEnergy.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah! Jared's badass is in Egypt.
Yeah.
Oh,
Lord
boy.
Hot Dog.
Sharmoshik.
What?
Sharmoshik.
Evan. Yes. Evan Hafer, when you hired Jared Taylor to come on to Black Rifle Coffee, was one of his job descriptions to go to Egypt and party all over the world?
First of all, there's a lot of things wrong with just that assumption and statement, which is assuming that we hired Jared. That's like your first flaw in that. Which is he just started coming to the office every day, and ultimately, I mean. If anything gets done, like, that's just positive, you know, that's awesome. The unfortunate thing is that people really do think that he works here, you know, and so when he talks to people, he's like, hey, buy this hot dog suit, and the accountant's like, okay, and we have to really rein that in.
We do have a new wrapped vehicle and a new door. Thanks to Jared Taylor.
Yes, yes.
I think he left a bunch of invoices in his wake to Egypt, you know?
Yeah.
We love him. We love him. We miss him.
Here's what I've noticed as an outsider, as a business owner myself, Evan. From the outside, it looks like just in the last 4 weeks, he's been raging in the Caribbean. What right. Was it Costa Rica? I believe he was in Costa Rica.
He was
right?
In Costa Rica, yeah. Yeah. So,
him in a lot of pools.
Once again, the assumption is that he works for Black Rifle. The problem is I don't define where he goes for travel. I mean, if he shows up where the Black Rifle guys are, it's not like we're going to turn him away. And so it's just, and if he sleeps on the same couch as the, you know, the filming and content guys in Costa Rica, it's like all of a sudden everybody thinks like, oh, Jared works at Black Rifle Coffee. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, he's traveling a lot.
God.
He comes into the office every day and talks to people, and it's pretty interesting.
He's flying all over the world like he's Floyd Mayweather. He's in another pool in a resort.
He's been going to a lot
Egypt.
Of pools. He's actually quite pale for how many pools he's been in the last 60 days.
Oh, well.
That's what I was thinking. I told him.
I was like, you know, I think you really need to lather yourself up with a sunscreen base. And I think that he just used white paint. I'm not exactly sure. I think he just painted himself.
Yeah, but no, he's with the American Hitman right now, doing their Armed Forces Entertainment Tour. So they're traveling around, and I'm not sure what him and Jack Mandeville and them are doing, but they're accompanying the band.
It's a USO tour, right?
No, I mean, Armed Forces Entertainment. So same thing.
Oh, it is? Okay, yeah. Right.
Same thing we did for the movie. But
interesting. So,
but without the movie. So they're there with a band. Is Jared in that band, Matt? Is he playing? Is he playing bass or
tambourine?
I mean, he's not in the band, but he does have a lot of musical talent. So I'm sure he'll jump on stage and sing some lullabies to the troops. You know.
Well, either way, we miss Jared. We got a guest on the show. Who do we got there, Evan?
We got a close and personal friend of ours. I think mine, well, started as mine, and there was like a domestic partnership at one point.
What do you mean at one point?
We introduced him to the Black Rifle family a few months ago. Fit in really well. He showed up at the previous Unicorn Ranch, which is just an Airbnb that we rented for a while. Yeah. Wow. And he had a thong on, I believe it.
Yes.
It was an orange thong. It looked like a...
You SF guys are so weird. You and your thongs.
Yeah, he's also a medical guy.
Which
so
makes it way worse.
He's a special forces medic.
Exponentially stranger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
And Tyr. Hello, Tyr.
Hello. Hello, Matthew.
Yeah,
hello,
that's
Evan.
The pronunciation.
Tyr.
Hello, Tyr. Yeah, is it Tyr or Tyr?
It depends on who's saying it. It is Tyr. You can Google that. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah. How did that nickname go over? You know, were you top tier all the way through life, third tier?
No, actually, the best way to describe how I got my name is my parents were hippies with guns. I'm named after the Viking god of war.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a nice thing. Look at that.
It's actually kind of how I consider myself, a hippie with a gun.
Yeah.
Lots of guns.
Lots of guns, right.
Tyr's right hand. So if, you know, if you look it up. Look up the background of that. It's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, definitely makes me a lefty.
Yeah definitely makes
well,
you a lefty.
Hey, well, welcome to the show, Tyr.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is definitely a third-tier show today.
yeah, I appreciate that. That's awesome.
But let's gargle some cum. What?
Oh, yeah. Right, welcome to the show, Tyr. And we got some sponsors who pay for this whole fucking stink wagon to be on the air.
Stink wagon.
First and foremost, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com. Worked out super early this morning, around 7 this morning, which I don't typically do.
Is that super early?
Is 10, min- like is 10 minutes on a treadmill working out?
And is 7 a.m. Super early?
I heard
super early at 11 a.m. this morning. And
7 a.m. isn't...
Prancercising down Carolina
Beach. 7 a.m. isn't early for me. It's not early for me at all.
Right.
What is early, though, is to work out that early. I do not enjoy working out...
Period.
That early in the morning.
You should have texted me. I was at the gym at 7. We could have like compared gym mixtapes.
Ooh.
I know.
And Strikeforce Energy. You know?
Exactly. So I took some Strikeforce because I hate I absolutely hate working out in the morning. I'm a new I'm a late night guy. If I had my druthers, I would work out at midnight every night.
Really?
My wife thinks I'm fucking crazy. Yeah, totally.
I like to suck the gym's dick in the morning. It gets me ready for the day.
Yep.
I don't, man. Science. I feel too zapped like the rest of the day. But it was a good thing that I've piled up on this Strikeforce. Because now, look, the workout's over for the day, and that's a nice thing. But I feel a little zapped, so I Strikeforce up. You should, too. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Fight the zap.
Kick the can, kids. You don't need it. Throw the can out the window. It's the tastiest, tiniest little tin pouch of energy. It goes in every single liquid available. Waters, beers, liqueurs. You name it, it goes in there. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, type in the promo code Drinkin' Bros. You get 20% off. They ship everywhere in the entire world, and they've got a subscription of the month club, which will get your dick real hard. Next up, we got ReadyMan.com. Nice. Evan Hafer, why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, ReadyMan.com, and I believe Tyr is a content contributor over there at ReadyMan.
That's correct.
That is correct. Yeah. So the kind of stuff that get into is it's pretty incredible. You could basically
Tyr, why don't you describe it? Yeah, what do you got?
ReadyMan, if you are looking to be a man or just improve the quality of your manhood, ReadyMan is the place to go.
Yeah.
They can teach you just about anything.
And they really bring
medicine.
The PTSD out of the employees at Black Rifle, because we were in the middle of a meeting yesterday and all of a sudden we hear a huge drop and screaming and they're running through a fucking hostage scenario behind us. So all of us pretty much draw our guns out. We're like, oh, it's
replaying
it's
a
ReadyMan
home invasion.
Having fun back there.
Yeah. Nice live feed last night, replaying a, reenacting a home invasion that happened out here with Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. Real thing.
That's fucking awesome.
Well, it's not awesome that, that someone stole a car and then drove it over his lawn and tried to invade his home. But, you know, the...
Wait, are you? Is this real?
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, he had a whole bunch of Strike Force and, you know, he just ramped up there.
I don't know if that was Strike Force. I think that was a different
heroin?
Form.
I think it was heroin?
a different vice, you know?
Yeah, one in Rome.
Yeah, one in Rome.
And you can use Drinking or Drinking Bros and take 20% off any purchase over there at Ready Man. So,
yes, you
can. A couple little things over there.
Love you, Jeff Kirkham.
Yeah, huge fan of ReadyMan.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros or Drinking Bros and 20% off. Next up, we got GhostBed.com. Fan fave of the show. We all sleep on them. If that's not the best goddamn night's sleep you'll ever have in your entire life, I don't know what is, to be honest.
My bed frame actually got delivered finally yesterday. I put it together last night, and the Ghost Bed feels amazing on it. I prefer the Ghost Bed on a bed frame than on the ground.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
It was
really nice. Did you get a box spring yet?
I didn't, because the bed that I got kind of has one built into it. So
great.
I'm ghosting, bro. You know?
Yeah, dude. Ghost ride the bed. anyways, I got a huge announcement about Ghost Bed, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is great, and we're going to do it on the next show, because it'll be a whole thing. But as you remember, GhostBed.com, as we were promoting for the last month, was doing 5 free beds giveaways and 5 free pillow giveaways to military, active, or veteran. Dude, they gave us the names, they sent them over, and we're gonna announce them live on the show.
Oh,
and I'm curious to see.
Sweet.
Yes. So on the next show, we're gonna announce them. Some of them I do recognize from our Drinking Bros subgroup on Facebook. The others, I'd be curious to see if they're real fans.
Like, GhostBed just pulls a massive PR. They're like, Evan Hafer, Matt Bess, Jared Davis, like fucking Oprah Winfrey, beds for everybody. Like, oh,
we're all the 5 winners.
Yeah,
where it's like,
No, sorry, you have to be a veteran to be a winner.
Look
Ross.
Under your seat. There's a mattress.
I'm stoked. And then on the next show, stay tuned, because they've also... man, I don't want to spoil this, but they've given away an extra bed to someone.
Oh shit!
Yes, who will this should inspire you and push you to achieve bigger and greater things. And on the next show, we will get to that, and it's actually really fucking rad. So go to GhostBed.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros. Go to GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros as well. You get $50 off. They've also got 3 free pillows, which the pillows are the fucking jam, that they're giving away with the beds. And they've also got payment plans. But we're huge, huge GhostBed.com fans. Go there. That's the greatest night's sleep you will ever have. Last but not least, Evan Hafer. We've got Black Rifle Coffee. Do you know anything about it?
I know a few things about Black Rifle Coffee. You know, we started Black Rifle Coffee 2 months ago. As of today, we have 87 employees. We've got over a 65% veteran hire rate. We continue to hire more and more veterans every day out here. We roast and deliver some of the finest coffee in the United States. The other cool thing that we got going on is we are going to be one of 7 SCAA certified training campuses in the United States by the end of the summer. So we've got a former SF guy, Edwin, out here, who's our coffee roaster, who's the chief of coffee, and he is going to become a master coffee. I don't know what you'd say, but it's like a Q level certification, which is a big deal in the United States. So as we say, don't buy that rebagged crap. Buy it from the experts out here at Black Rifle Coffee and use Drinking or Drinking Bros and take 20% off.
Boom.
Yes, big fan. We've all got a subscription too. Every time Caffeinated as Fuck shows up at my doorstep once a month, I'm glad I have a subscription. I don't have to go to the fucking store anymore.
I have a subscription too. I just go and steal it from the fulfillment center. I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
Yeah, you do. You leave a note.
Actually, you leave a handwritten
note.
I know shit buy my own coffee, and I only give myself a 10% discount. No shit.
You should.
There's something fulfilling about that.
Well, here's the thing. As a business owner, you can't just be giving shit away for free all the goddamn time. And a lot of people think that, where it's just like, oh, you run an awesome company, I can have all your shit for free. It's like, no, motherfucker, I wouldn't have a business. I would not have a business if I'm giving all my friends free
unless
shit.
Unless you're in the blowjob business, because you can't really run out of that.
You can't. You know, your hole just doesn't disappear.
Yeah, the hole doesn't. I mean, you might have to get some strike force in there to lubricate the
time
mouth,
is
but
money.
Overall.
It's a beautiful thing about prostitution. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the hole never
goes away.
Well, maybe
the
like
hole
80
never
years,
closes.
It's been worn out enough. You know, it's
the
been...
The hole never closes,
I think you just get
Matt,
into like
the
more
hole
of a specialty
never closes.
Dug out like a California water well, just dry as fuck,
just
you know?
Dry.
Warped avocado.
What avocado?
A warped avocado.
A warped avocado?
Yeah, like it grew around a branch or something.
Just hanging, just low hanging fruit.
Slow hanging fruit.
Oh God. Hey Evan, not to put you on the spot here, I want to start off the top of this show with Brand Index. I don't know how much you follow that, but this was one of the top stories last night.
Yeah. So
Brand
I mean, yeah. I took a look at a few things over there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because Brand Index said that Starbucks brand has not recovered from the backlash they took from the refugee promise. Dunkin' Donuts is up. I'm assuming Black Rifle is up as well. And they said, by the way, this is not recovering anytime soon. People are not forgetting this. I don't know how much you want to dig into this, but I thought it was a really interesting story, and their stock is down.
Yeah, I mean, it was trending down anyway. So we have to look at, you know, the last, I guess, year of the stock, and ultimately it's not down. If we look at the last year, it looks like it's just kind of following a common trend line. It took a little bit of a hit right around the first part of last month when they came out with that statement. And I think really any time that you take a political stance, especially with a company that's that big, you know, they have a 20 plus billion annual internationally. Anytime that you take a political stance, you're basically either going to forfeit market share or you're going to gain market share depending on your position in the market. So Starbucks being one of the largest national retailers, obviously they're encompassing both people on both sides of the spectrum. So when you say, hey, you know what, we talked about it earlier with that statement, there's so many different things wrong with that statement. One, you're making a political statement, so you have to be able to sacrifice that market share. Two, there's no real way that can be done ultimately, because you'd have to have a very specific relationship with the U.S. State Department in order to first define what an actual refugee is. And second of all, you'd have to hire a complete internal hiring mechanism that would go out and vet people, specifically establishing that they're legitimate refugees. Third, the logistics involved in that, and to the political position, I would find that very difficult to believe that they can follow through with something like that. So that's just a blatant PR move that backfired ultimately. So you could really say, you know, as we look at kind of the executive office over the last year, they've had, you know, a lot of PR faux pas, for a lack of a better term. And you could say that's probably a PR faux pas on the CEO of S-Bucks over there. So he's probably paying the price for that. And you know what, if he didn't have such a senior position over there, I would imagine the board would be extremely disappointed with that. If I was a Starbucks stockholder, I would be disappointed in that. I'll tell you that, because you're sacrificing market share with political statements. So that means you don't give
you
a
really
shit.
Are.
You don't give a shit about your stockholders.
I have a theory on the refugee thing.
What's that?
With
go ahead.
Well, yeah. You know, traveling all over the world as we do. You know, we've seen the Starbucks in other countries.
Correct.
I'm wondering how many of that promise of the refugee hiring. I'm wondering how many of that is just, yeah, we're going to hire them in that Starbucks that's there in the Dubai
overseas.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
See, that's interesting.
But
because
they're a foreign national. They're not necessarily an immigrant unless they're somehow working that they're hired through an American company working in like a proxy country or something. I don't know how that
well,
would work.
Well, and that
legally.
Goes and. Evan and I have a friend whose former wife, girlfriend, whatever, used to be in charge of all the hiring for that. So I've got a little bit of insight back in our Seattle days.
Right.
That was the Marius, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, I love that guy.
Yeah. He's a good dude. whatever happened to that guy?
he's a sergeant major right now. He's doing sergeant major stuff somewhere. Checking, you know, uniforms.
Right. Yeah.
Telling guys a bunch of bullshit.
Right. That goes back to what Evan was saying about you have to actually define the refugee status at that point.
You do, and ultimately, I think that you misread the landscape internationally too, because you've got a huge portion of the population overseas where this is also a hot button for them. They've seen a large influx of refugees in Europe. Just got back from Germany, trade show out there, and this was a very specific.
How was it over there? Yeah, how was it over there, Evan? Because that's the country I'm most curious about, because there's over a million Syrians that are already settled there. So what was your experience like over there?
People are not happy. They're really not happy with the large influx of refugees, specifically in their small states. When we look at these things, it's not that they don't want people in their country. They do want to protect. They do want to allow space for people. The problem is that the vetting for refugees and what value refugees create within the walls of their country, they're starting to question whether or not that actually does or it's a positive value specifically within their culture. And what's happened, and I had this conversation over and over and over with everybody from France, Germany, UK, because you've got Brexit that just happened within the UK. Yep. This is a huge issue, and you have countries divided, and now you have the EU divided on this. And it's not just the United States. This is an international issue. We're all talking about refugees. We're talking about how the landscape is changing politically. So you have this, you know, progressive politics internationally, ultimately pushing forward these political agendas. And they're redefining the cultural landscapes within their countries faster than people are comfortable with. And the economics. So it's a displacement of wealth, because when you have a million people that can't get a job within your own country, you have to support them for a finite or infinite amount of time, depending on how fast you can re-educate and put them back into the workforce.
Correct.
So these are all very real questions that people should be answering. It's not racism. And I continue to say this, we've talked about this for the last 2 weeks, saying that you don't completely agree with the Muslim religion or identify specifically with the Arab culture, and you don't necessarily want to incorporate that into your day of life or your daily life, that's not racism. That's really not. And it's not xenophobia. It's not you living in fear. It's saying, I've lived, let's say, in the state of Idaho or Utah or whatever, Wyoming, and I agree with refugees, but I agree with refugees coming to the United States and incorporating into our way of life, being Americans. And I think that's a very specific thing that people have to wrap their minds around, which is, if you want to live in Syria, move to Syria. You don't want to bring Syria to your next door. Yeah, and that doesn't make you a racist, because you're like, dude, I don't want to live under Sharia law. I don't want to incorporate this massive voting block into my society that changes the outcome. And I really, what I don't want it's like saying this, which is, you know, we live here in the state of Utah under the LDS umbrella, ultimately, right?
Right.
We don't agree with it. And I think a lot of the shit is stupid that they push specifically within the state. However, I do live here, right? I can openly disagree with LDS religion and not necessarily say that I want to be part of it, and I won't support it. Like, I just won't do it. That's not me being a racist. That's me saying that I don't agree with their
religion. Yeah, there's certain cultural practices mm-hmm. that you're just not going to go ahead with, but it doesn't mean that you're out there, you know, creating violence against a religion or an ideology strictly based off of a different cultural view.
No.
Exactly. It's just, I think it's stupid that the liquor stores close at 7 p.m.
And they have to go behind a curtain to get a drink, and you can't get a double.
Very quiet.
It's fucking stupid. Yeah. And so...
that's the beauty of America. You can have opinions like that, and that's the problem with some of these other religions, is they try to impose their cultural beliefs on you, and if you don't appease them or agree with them, then it turns violent. We've seen it all across Europe, and it's just something that I think America generally doesn't want, unless you're this super progressive movement that's never dealt with real life. And once they deal with those in real life, they're like, you know what? I'm kidding. Can you guys with the guns help us out now?
That's right.
That's exactly. Exactly. And by the way, speaking of that, Matt, General Mattis just sent troops into Syria yesterday.
Yeah, and I saw a little thing about 70th Ranger Regiment. So in the slight chance in you boys over there listening, man, fucking be safe, good luck, and fucking deal some hate, bro.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Be safe, though.
Yeah, what do you think's gonna happen with all that, by the way?
Fuck, dude. I have no idea. And they're just due to OPSEC reasons, I know that they're withholding how many troops, what kind of mission that they're doing, whether it's advisory or if it's direct action. You know, I don't know, but I just know that I believe it's 3rd Ranger Battalion. They put that out there publicly. So good on you boys and be safe. And I think there's some artillery, some Marines out there as well. So you guys too, man, be safe.
When you read something like this, does any part of you guys,
dude, I wanted to jump back on a fucking striker over there. That, I was like, God dang it, dude. Literally the first thing I was like, fuck, I want to go over there.
That's what I'm asking. Like when you see things like that, is it like Jordan looking at a team going, fuck man, I want to jump in this game right now. I want in this game.
Yeah.
Was that what you guys were thinking?
A little bit, but I think that my life has changed course where I can have a little more purpose. And to be honest, I'm getting fucking old, and these young 24-year-old, 23-year-old studs are going to fucking be probably better than I am at their jobs. So good on them. I mean, if fucking World War III kicks off and I got to fucking fight the Islamic Front like on a national level, let's go, bro. I got plenty of guns. I'll fucking gladly grab a ruck and start blowing fucking heads off.
I just heard a 30-year-old man, Matt? Say it. I'm getting old.
I mean, I'm 30. I could still join, right?
You're 30.
I still got till 36. So, but
you're a young 30.
You know.
Yeah, you're a young 30, and you're because you're still you still work. You're very jacked as fuck. You're still worked out every day. Like, you're in good shape. Could you do it right now and go back and fucking just beat ass?
Yes, easily. Mm-hmm. But whether or not
there
I like,
is.
Yeah, I mean that's not taking away. I mean, the 24-year-olds would probably run fucking circles around me, but I'll outshoot them. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
They can carry. Carry the Gustav and the fucking stretchers.
Carry all the weight.
They'll carry the weight. I'll carry the rifle and I'll be the fucking squad leader. So.
I've gotten really good at Merc Chat and holding a coffee cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Tier? What do you think? You think you could get back in there?
He's still in.
I'm still part time, man. I'm a weekend warrior. Which
shit.
Yeah, in the soft world that doesn't really translate into the whole 1 week and a month, 2 weeks a year thing. I think I did 4 months active.
Can
last year.
Can I call you your Smajesty?
You can do that. Yes. Or his Smajerston. Yeah,
he's
your Smajesty.
He's like the real life Gene Vandenham, other than not as like cocky and douchey.
Yeah.
Yeah. a simple thank you, your Smajesty, would suffice.
Better or worse hair, depending on how you look at it.
Now your beard's coming in pluff. You got a nice
the
plush.
The beard is good. The beard makes up for what I'm.
You got really a nice plush beard. What about you, Evan Hafer? Could you go back? You think right now at your age and kick some ass?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm 40. I'm super happy with where I'm at right now as far as like where my life trajectory is taking me as far as the business is concerned. I don't think my head would be in it, to be honest with you. And that's kind of the psychology of that environment is excruciatingly important. I've got two kids, got a business. I'm in a different place in life. I can say probably the only time I've looked at the news in the last few years and said that would be a lot of fun is reclaiming our position in Mosul. And that's just because we have a year of my life there. So, but Syria, you know, I think I'm definitely more inclined to think about the geopolitical situation, to think about, you know, whether or not putting American lives at risk in Syria is a good thing.
Agreed.
And I'm all about fucking, you know, going out and putting the fucking boots to people that need it. At the same time, I really wish the United Arabian culture would clean their shit up. And I know that we've had a huge part in destabilizing the entire region, but you know, we're carrying a huge load as far as no gay weird pun intended. But
the pun or the analogy for me would be like that area is a butthole, and we come in trying to be the toilet paper, but it's fucking MRE toilet paper, and our fingers keep getting real fucking shitty, and it's like,
shit.
At what point do we stop wiping? You know,
yeah,
that I don't know. I'm not intelligent enough, but. You just don't want to see American lives getting sacrificed for some fucking geopolitical bullshit. And I think that's anybody that's served in war. It's all fun and games and you miss certain things, but you know, lives and limb are at stake. And it's a testament to how strong our military and those guys and girls are to sacrifice for this nation. But at the same time, is that sacrifice necessary?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, typically I'm probably on the other side of the fence of that, in the sense of like stabilizing and cleaning fucking the Islamic extremists, cleaning them off the planet is a very it's a very worthy objective. I don't know if we can do that just with, you know, onesie twosie special operations guys. I think that's a kind of a reset button type situation that might have to happen, which is like Dresden, or, you know, that's the way those cities look. I really don't think the United States or the international community has the stomach to firebomb a city like we did in the 1940s. I don't think they have the ability to do that. And they like these wars of one, they're it's a volunteer force. It's not conscription. They don't have to think about it. They like it because it kind of plays out on the news and fulfills a weird violent fantasy for them. But they continue to send 18 to 22 year old kids and into harm's way, instead of just saying, let's fucking hard reset this shit and build these countries back, because I see this as a never ending fucking war.
That's exactly and, right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I see it too.
Yeah. So with Matt's metaphor there of the toilet paper, this is a diarrhea problem, and diarrhea is not going anywhere soon in the third world. There's gonna be a lot of toilet paper.
It is, you know, and that's the reset button's a funny analogy, because it's like you can kill and kill and kill, but there's a point where education becomes the most prominent thing in rechanging an ideology. You can't, it's severely hard to kill an ideology unless you break it so bad that they don't want to believe in that anymore. And unfortunately, like you said, these small special operations wars and hitting there's always going to be the subsequent leader to fall into the position, be a predecessor to a fucking leader in whatever faction of extremist Islam that's going on. So it's hard, man. You know, I don't think 2017 ain't ready for a fucking giant war, man. They're just, we're a sensitive culture, man. It really is. Like, and I even fucking deal with it being out of the military and not deploying for what, fucking 3 years now. It's like you turn to become a little sensitive. You're like, I don't want to deal with that shit, you know? You can't imagine someone that grew up and has never seen anything. They can't fucking view those images of what real war looks like.
No.
They romanticize about it, about how fucking these SEALs and, you know, special operation guys, and they fantasize about the missions and how cool it would be, but they don't want to see fucking their buddies with a bullet in their head. They don't, you know? So, you know, and the unfortunate reality is you have a lot of people making decisions, sending these fucking young fucking dudes out there that have never seen the realities of war. And then they're making these fucking life or death decisions and sending these fucking dudes that are willing to commit to America. So fucking, I know, that's why it's so important to fucking support veterans, man. That's, you know, people throw them these shitty scenarios and like, let's get them out and let's get them back to society and fucking doing great things.
Amen.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. My question, yeah, amen to that. But my question to you, Evan, is this. I just saw that Trump sent B-52s with nukes to South Korea. And yeah. In case we've got to bomb North Korea because they're firing off, you know, ballistic missiles and all that shit. Why can't you just nuke a city anymore like the 40, like Eisenhower? Why can't you do, I'm being totally serious. If you just went in and dropped one, took out Kim Jong-un and just said, fuck you, went into Syria, just dropped one and said, fuck you guys, and then just reset both of those countries. What is the fallout from that? Because would people really care? I don't think they would. And I know that
strike, there's a lot of fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to those countries, but not in the surrounding countries where it's like, would you really miss North Korea? Would you really miss fucking Syria? Like, in all honesty, like, is there any great shit coming out of there?
Yeah, like, they're not going to reinvent the airplane anytime soon coming out of Aleppo. Yeah. I mean, I agree with the, you know, they're not rebuilding Silicon Valley.
Yeah. There's nobody coming out of there except, you know, maybe a hacker, dude, or like some weird holistic doctor that it's like, well, dude, why couldn't you just nuke him and start over?
I think that there's like in the world, like this is the hippie in me, right? Like human life is important. And I don't care what nationality or anything you are, like human life at its core is important, right? That's pretty much what everybody believes in. Now, any ideology that's like anti-humane, like Islam, like fucking extremists, fucking Muslims and all this shit, like can't even talk today, but those ideologies need to get off the face of this earth. Like, I think a lot of people in North Korea, they're so brainwashed. Like, I don't think that they're necessarily violent, evil people. They just believe this umbrella of bullshit. So I wouldn't like nuking North Korea would be the worst decision ever.
Really?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think that you know, one, you have to think about the long-term effects. You have to think about who are the key players in the region. You have to think about, okay, if I do this, what happens next? I mean, it's not just chess. It's like a four-dimensional fucking chessboard, right, with 100 different pieces, and those pieces can fucking punch you in the face at any time. So, like, when you look at geopolitics, and specifically when you look at overarching strategy, it's not just like, it's not as easy as, yeah, I wish it was as easy as like, hey, let's just, you know, glass parking lot this. That would be great. When you look at the world wars, you have international buy-in from multiple countries in order to come out at the other end and say, okay, you know, World War II is a great example. You know, we weren't the only country looking to take over Japan at that point. I mean, you had the Russians coming in from the north. You had the United States. You had international buy-in by the key players that you knew. We're, one, going to destroy the country, and two, we were completely bought into the rebuild process. Even though that launched the Cold War, specifically in Europe post that, you did have international buy-in. It was a zero-sum game at that point, which is, if you didn't do something about it now, you are going to be speaking Japanese in the near future. So that can't happen. Like, at no point in time, you know, is ISIS going to be able to mount an offensive. Yeah. To take over the United States or United States territories? This is a long game for them. And I'm saying that specifically related to ISIS, but then Kim Jong-un, he's not going to mount a global war against the allies of the United States and have even close to a productive chance. Outcome.
Yeah.
So he's locked. He's landlocked in. There's not much he can do. So if he pushes a button on something, okay, now we have international buy-in and we can fucking completely dismantle that country. If we preemptively go in, no. Now we become the bad guys. It's kind of right. Like me going, I'm going to punch that dude in the face before he fucking punches me, right?
Right.
Let's just wait. Let's just wait.
You also deal with the whole second, third order effects there. I mean,
China.
You can nuke the shit out of the place, but somebody at some point is going to step up and be in charge. And if you do a surgical strike just for regime change, you're leaving that power vacuum. Who steps up? I think we've had some hard lessons learned in the last decade and a half about regime change and the power vacuum that follows.
I think it's worked out great.
Hashtag Arab Spring.
hashtag Iraq is going nowhere.
Yeah. God.
McTaddle's Sauter. Yeah, made a name for himself.
Me personally, like, I look at it like, what's the solution then? What do you think is going to happen with North Korea and Syria specifically?
Wait.
I think North Korea is going to be the same thing, right? Like, North Korea is going to, like, look at my missile and be like, look at my B-52s, and hopefully we all fucking just stare at each other across the border and go about our lives, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Syria, who fucking knows, man? That is super, super complicated.
The problem is you got Russia involved in that. And really, like, when you look at the big bear, that's really the rest of this shit is kind of a sideshow. I hate to fucking say it like that, but, you know, the big bear and the big red states, you know, they've been refueling, refitting, and watching for the last decade and a half. And when we really look at, like, I think the big points in this, Islamic extremism is never going to mount an international global offensive that will gain any traction with any civilized society around the world. That's never going to happen. However, socialism is alive and well. And so when you've been, you know, concentrating, you know, specifically our manpower, our resources on these sideshows, we kind of took our eye off the ball. And you've got big, powerful, very powerful states that are moving a lot of economic clout internationally, and they have a completely contradictory ideology than are literally the foundation of our country. So we really can't get too bogged down into these little fucking states like Kim Jong-un and fucking, you know, Muhammad so-and-so in shit pot little state here. It's really a much bigger game that's at stake, and people have to keep that into context, I think.
All right. Well, my opinion is just drop bombs. I'm going to start over. That's me. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, I'm different.
So you're more
I'm
of like, yeah, like a Catch Me Outside guy. Like, you're like Kim Jong-un, yeah, catch me outside. And you're going to drop bombs, fisticuffs, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Through you guys and working with you guys for the last few years, like, you know, I've got to meet so many amazing veterans. And it's like, man, I just don't want to see anybody else get hurt or fucked up like any of our guys. So it's like, can't we just drop one and just kind of, you know, nuke him out? Like, let's just let them deal with it. Like, you know, another country. Like, and I think North and South Korea would eventually join. It'd be one Korea, kind of like, you know,
that would be
East
cool
and
if
West Germany.
Like, if yeah. it was called one Korea.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just one
Run
Korea. Kind of like
one
Republic,
direction.
The band. Yeah. The band. They're the,
it's, I think it's actually
just one
Samsung.
Korea.
Too late to apologize.
They can nominate superstar Psy.
It's early in the morning, you know. I'm trying to think about fucking politics. My brain don't work this early. Need some Strike Force.
Need some Strike
Force. I know. We'll get away from it for one sec, but not really. You know, I'm coming back in with Daddy Trump's numbers that just got released right
boom,
now.
Boom.
Breaking news to Drinking Bros: +235 for the month. Boy. That is a big boy number. Manufacturing tripled. Growth in government jobs. Construction, largest gain in 10 years. Make America great again. Holy shit. Way to go, Trump. Proud of you.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's amazing that you know, hey, socialism doesn't work. That's weird. That's weird how that is. You know?
Oh,
look at that. It doesn't work.
I have a you know, a decent stock portfolio, and like I can say for this
penny stocks
braggadocious. I have a decent
no.
Let me just say it's high very point. Diversified.
purely for retirement purposes. Like I've always been like a later in life guy, smart guy, like that type of shit.
Did you buy Snapchat on the IPO?
Humility your best trait? Russ, and you don't
it
mind
is,
telling
it
people?
Is. It is my... No. But I learned... Look, you learn early on. Like, I had this discussion, I think, with Jared one night where it's like, dude, you know, in acting in Hollywood and all this shit, you get money quick and then you end up burning it on dumb shit like Jared's
cocaine.
Doing now. Yeah. Getting cars wrapped, whatever your vice is. But then as you get older, you start realizing like, oh, shit, I should probably put some away for college funds or, you know, 401ks, that type of shit. So that's what it's for. It's not for me to be like, I'm sweet at a party. It's actually the opposite. It's like, hey, I'm smart and mature and responsible. And just
you don't
in
have
case
to put
I
money away
nuked.
For college. That's why they make the GI Bill.
Right?
Let's say my son's a pussy and doesn't go to go into the military. Then he's going to need that fucking college fund, which is in these goddamn stocks. And I will say this. Since Trump is taking over, the market has been up close to 3,000 points, and it has been amazing. I almost feel like playing that Kanye song. It's amazing. So whatever he's doing, fucking A. Fucking A. Way
yeah.
to go.
Hey, listen,
Daddy Trump.
All that stuff. We're just trying to roast some delicious coffee over here. You know, that's what we're doing.
I know.
That's all we're doing.
I know. It's great. I wish I could buy stock in Black Rifle. You guys are fucking through the roof. When do you think that IPO will happen?
I don't think
Evan?
We fucked through the roof, but
you know, I have talked to a few people about that thing, and they were like, "Oh, you guys have a lot more. You got a lot of growing to do before you do something like that." So, you know,
yeah, what is the rules for something like that? What do they tell you exactly? Like how many years?
Well, I was talking to Jay Orvis, who he was on the show, and he's also you know, close and personal friend of ours. So he was saying his previous company is not, you know, it hasn't been a publicly traded company, and they're valued at about $1 billion. So it's a long road to a billion for Black Rifle before we're valued there. And the other thing is you really have to weigh out. You have to weigh out the benefits and you know, the negatives to taking a company public. There's a lot of federal oversight. So it can actually slow the growth of the company, just literally formatting it. So you preparing it to go public, and there, a lot of people will say that it's detrimental and today because it's different than it was, let's say 12 or 15 years ago. So today it's much harder to take a company public. It's in all honesty, unless it's like a tech buy, something like that, it doesn't really benefit unless you've got some, you know, you've got some strategic goal that you're really trying to push. So for us, like we're just concentrating on the franchise opportunity for Black Rifle Coffee and making sure that the men and women that want the opportunity to own a franchise, they have economic emancipation and, you know, through creating opportunity, economic emancipation and great product, that'll either present itself or it won't. So we're not really reading the envelope that far into the future.
As much as I'd like to be in on that IPO, I would hate to see other people come in and have any kind of control over what you're doing here.
Yeah.
By the way, the reason I bring it up, Evan, is that Snapchat IPO came out last week, exploded. And I just don't see the long term for that company. Like I don't see it. Do you?
I don't. And I mean that even if you just look at any tech public offering, like in the last year, 2 years, they've basically opened and sank. And
right.
There really hasn't been since Google, Alibaba would have been a good one, but they have something, right? They have something that a lot of people don't have, meaning they're making business possible.
Right.
Snap, in my opinion, I don't know if it has the legs of something like Facebook. I really don't, because
Facebook bought Instagram and they're already integrating the systems with stories and things that kind of mirror the what you're doing, the interface of Snapchat. So, I mean, I don't see the longevity in that, but you never know. It's great for saying nudes, the kids say.
I will say this.
You never know.
Yeah. People said the same thing about Facebook when they did their IPO.
True.
And I came in off a run and bought, I don't know, 10 shares because that's what I had before. And that's how I paid for my move to the East Coast, was selling my Facebook stock. So
well, look at you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, see that? Save your money, kids.
You and Mark Zuckerberg.
Save your money.
Friends?
He hasn't returned my calls right now.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I think it's different. I really do. I think the tech offering specifically related to like Snaps or anything social media based, right? You have something that you know, Snap is something that's probably a younger generation, but ultimately Facebook was one of the first of its kind, and it had kind of a depth and it had a strategic plan. I haven't seen where Snap is. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, a few years ago, you could see, and definitely now you can see Facebook as like, okay, got it loud and clear.
Right.
Yeah. They're locked in.
But I don't see how Snap is doing anything different than the other social media platforms. They're not taking advantage of the fact that, I'm really going to not go too far down the rabbit hole on this, but they're reaching a younger demographic at a higher rate than the other social media platforms that basically do the same thing, because it's an ad platform that creates data and then puts ads in front of people. That's what it is.
Right.
Okay. Well, Facebook could quite literally invent and or manufacture the same type of platform that they have and take away huge portions of their market share. So whereas like,
but Facebook keeps reinventing new features that are amazing. Have you seen the sell shit that they have going on, the marketplace?
Right. Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It geolocates with you and then people within a certain area, and then you can immediately make offers through Messenger, and then boom, you bought something. It's fucking cool.
It's a lot like Craigslist,
it pisses me off,
but without the weird dude with the ferret.
Yeah.
I have a theory, and I could be wrong, but I have a theory that some of these companies, that's their last hurrah. So you take it public, you cash out, and you roll on.
Agreed.
So you've taken on your A, B, C round of funding, right? You've leveraged a ton of debt. Now it's time to fucking go public. You cash out and roll out. You don't give a shit. And ultimately, like, that's my theory, that some of these guys are just trying to cash in and roll out. And that's what they're doing.
Well, Evan, it's an interesting theory, and I'll tell you why. One of today's big stories was Facebook originally tried to buy Snapchat for $10 billion.
Right.
The guy balked at it. That was about 2 or 3 years ago, and essentially said, fuck you, and then, great. They continued. They did the IPO. The IPO came out and crushed, but then it's pulled back a little. The big rumor today is Facebook is waiting for it to fall It was at 24. They're waiting for it to fall down to 14, and they said they may take it over. So you could be right. I think that theory is could quite possibly be correct.
If it falls to 14, I'm buying a bunch more.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people waited till Twitter fell to 14 and bought a bunch of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
because I think somebody will buy Twitter as well eventually. But with that, let's get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, shall we? This week's Drinking Bro of the Week was submitted by JD Gray. He says, "Hey guys, I'd like to throw a nomination your way for Drinking Broette of the Week. My grandmother, Ruthless Shambaugh, is going to be taken off of life support tomorrow night." Damn, that sucks. She's a wonderful grandmother and a wonderful wife to my grandfather, who is a Vietnam vet who served in the Army and the Air Force. She's the strongest woman I know, and I love her to death. I'm flying from D.C. to Reno tomorrow to say my goodbyes. Thank you, boys, and thanks for all you do for everybody in the Drinking Bro community. This would mean a lot to me. Cheers, J.D. Gray.
Cheers.
Sorry
cheers.
To hear
cheers.
About your grandmother. Cheers. But thanks for submitting. And I like the nickname Ruthless. To Ruthless Shambaugh. We love you.
Absolutely.
Life will live.
This fucking flew by today. This was awesome. Thanks for stopping by. You were a top tier guest today.
Top tier.
Top tier. We went from third tier to top tier.
You would say started from the bottom, now you're here.
I might be here. Yeah. I was at the bottom.
Started from the bottom, now you're tier.
There it is. Damn it. There it is. You.
Yes.
Funny fucker.
Hashtag trademark.
For Mr. Tier, Mr. Best, Mr. Hafer, and Mr. Patterson, we are the Drinking Bros, and we are out of here. Good night, everyone.